Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. I think it would be a wonderful happening if all of you, sometime today, shared a story of your mother with somebody else. When we share these stories, the presence of our loved ones is still present, and it still continues. So that would be my suggestion for how you can celebrate your day. Today's gospel is all about the importance of love. Love in our lives, together, and in our relationship with God. It seems appropriate that it falls on this day when we acknowledge the love between those who mother and those who are mothered. John's gospel has more to say about love than any other gospel. The word love occurs well over 50 times in this book, and yet there is no mention of loving one's neighbor, and there's no mention of loving one's enemies. The focus in John is on loving one another. That is, on the love that believers have for each other. Jesus tells his followers in chapter 13 that this is a new commandment, and that everyone will know who his followers are by the love that they have and they show for each other. Today's passage is once again part of Jesus' farewell discourse, where he announces his coming departure and consoles those who will remain behind to do God's work. It is intended to comfort the disciples and also the late first century Christians who are reading this gospel, who are struggling with much the same questions. How can we have a relationship with Jesus? How can we still love him when he's gone? Jesus had just said that he is the way to the Father. This passage addresses how those who remain on earth can continue to access that way. Our passage today is built like a sandwich. We have the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, sandwiched between two slices of love. I will begin by speaking about the Paraclete. The important phrase that lies at the center of this reading is, "I will not leave you orphaned." Using the intimate imagery of family, Jesus assures his disciples that those close bonds that he has with them and they had through him with the Father will not be cut upon his death. He will ask the Father to send the Parakletos, the Paraclete, to those he leaves behind. We often translate Paraclete as Holy Spirit. This is the first appearance of that word in John, and it has a very complex meaning that is not captured in English, for it means many things at the same time. The one who exhorts and encourages us, the one who comforts and consoles us, the one who helps, the one who advocates and makes appeals on our behalf. In various passages in John's Gospel, Jesus says that he or the Father will send another Paraclete, translated in the NRSV as advocate in today's reading. Jesus was the first. And this Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of Jesus because Jesus is the truth, will serve the same function as Jesus. The work of the Spirit is not new. It is a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus is clear that he, the Paraclete, and the Father are all entwined. The Paraclete will be a teacher in the community. The presence of the Paraclete alleviates the problem of leadership succession after the deaths of Mary and Martha, Peter, and the beloved disciple. For the Paraclete will lead the community into the future. We should always ask ourselves, where are we being led? Every time you call a new rector, we have a big discernment process, and that discernment process is strictly there to figure out where is the Holy Spirit leading us. The gift of the Paraclete addresses these questions and those that might be asked by successive generations of John's community of friends. Who will be with us? Who will take care of us as father and mother? How will the traditions be passed down and taught? Who will teach us and remind us? Who will give us peace? Who will testify to Jesus? Who will advocate for us in a hostile world? Who will tell us what to do and how to be now? Who will speak? The good news for them and for us is that the vital, active presence of the Paraclete keeps his teaching fresh, keeps Jesus's teaching fresh in our minds. The presence of the Paraclete ensures that we continue to hear Jesus's words and that Jesus continues to speak to us. And where do we find this Paraclete? In the worshiping community. The Paraclete comes to the community that loves Jesus. All the pronouns in this passage are second person plural. These promises are not made to individuals. In liberation theology, the Spirit is created from the love between the Father and the Son. Extending that idea, we can say that the Spirit comes into our communities as the result of our love for Jesus and for each other. And how are those who love Jesus identified? Now it comes to the bread on both sides of the paraclete in our gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the top of the sandwich. Those who keep my commandments are those that love me. That's the bottom. It all comes down to living together in love, in obeying Jesus, not only his commands to love God and each other, but all that he taught by word and example. We are all called to mirror the divine love between the persons of the Trinity in our human lives together. When we, as his disciples, follow Jesus' model of self-giving love, it is possible for relationship with Jesus to be present in every generation of believers. Relationship with Jesus doesn't depend on his physical presence, but on the presence of the love of God in the life of our community. The love of God is present when those who love Jesus keep his commandments, when we continue to live out the love that Jesus showed in his own life and death. The power and ability to leave behind our very human selfishness, to think of the good of others over our own pride and self-interest, comes from the indwelling of God among us. Jesus said that the Spirit of truth abides with us and in us. Jesus said that we are loved by God. Those who love me will be loved by my Father. And Jesus said, on that day, know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are one with Jesus and God. Knowing that we carry that divine spark gives us, when we allow it to, the ability to live as God would have us live, in harmony. How much happier would we be if, when tempted to be impatient, unkind, hurtful, selfish, or unloving, we were to look inside ourselves and search for the presence of God. It is there in each one of us. Each of us must discover what it means to have a relationship with Jesus in his physical absence. The insistence of these verses on love as a sign of fidelity to Jesus and the way to communion with the Trinity suggests that the believing community in any generation will enter relationship with Jesus only when it takes on and lives out the love modeled by Jesus himself. And what does that love look like in this community? I can think of many signs of it, from prayers to selfless acts of care to service to boxes overflowing with food in the narthex. The paraclete is present here, living in the loving space between each of us. Let us be guided by the Spirit of truth to live our lives in service to those around us and to those in need in our community. We have a model of love in Jesus, the Messiah who washed his disciples' feet and loved us even to the point of death on a cross. Let us always pray to God that we have the strength, the wisdom, the patience, and discernment to love each other as we love God, or better yet, as God loves us. Amen.